That's right. The Drive is live, and we are live here on the road on a little thirsty Thursday. As we say, get out here and make a bad decision. And not only make a bad decision, the bartenders, I promise you, will help you make that bad decision already right now, even at 2 o'clock, as well as you got a chance to win some things. And Clint, we hook people up with a lot of stuff. I want to give you the breakdown. I want to give you the time right now, all right? Your chance to win a pair of tickets to the game on Sunday and Bud Light tailgate party tickets, all right? That's the big one. We'll be doing that in a 5 o'clock hour, Clint. A pair of tickets to see the Bears and the Texans coming up on Sunday. The first primetime game in 2 years. Your chance to be in the building and get that Bud Light tailgate party. We'll be doing that in the 5 o'clock hour. In the 4 o'clock hour, you'll have a chance to win an autographed full game-size helmet signed by Titus Howard, your right tackle, who, by the way, will join us coming up at 2:15. So stay tuned for that. And coming up in the 3 o'clock hour, your chance to win two different $25 gift cards, Visa gift cards. So we're going to hook you up. And we're going to give you at least an hour to get in here and get your name in that box before we start drawing. So all you got to do is come in, come back where we are. You can see our table set up, and you just have to fill out your name and put it in the raffle box, and you'll have a chance to walk away here a winner with some prizes. So come on out. Have a good time, baby.
Hey, couple of Bears fans in the house,
I saw him. I saw him.
I saw him, gentlemen. Yeah, right? I didn't boo him. He seemed to be a nice gentleman, but I tell you what. They were bared down now.
They were. They
nice.
Came out of town.
When I got up off that seat over, I thought it was an Astros fan with all that orange. And then I said, no, wait a minute. That's a bear on his chest.
Nah, they ain't that lucky.
Yeah, no. He seems a kind gentleman, though. As he walked by, he kind of whispered to me. He said, I think we're going to lose, though. Talking about his team, obviously.
I think so, right. That's
so,
good.
You know, his mind's in the right spot. At least if you're going to be walking around Houston in all that gear, you ought to be nice. That's for damn sure. There was a time when you could stick your chest out with all that, but right now, this ain't the year, baby. This ain't the year to be walking around in that opposing team gear. So, but yeah, we got some Texans fans in the house as well. Folks filling up these boxes over here, and we're rocking and rolling.
It is, man. Come on out and rock and roll with us tonight. Yes, and hell, you can come on here. You can not only see us on the screens, they got us on the screens.
Yeah.
But you can see the Astros, a little day baseball. As they need Framber Valdez. A little update on the game right now. 2-0. The Astros lead 2-0 in the fourth inning. Framber Valdez is had a little traffic earlier in the game, but he's starting to look the way that Framber Valdez has looked all throughout the second half of the season. 2-0 on a Jason Hayward line drive shot that got right out of the ballpark. 2-0 as the Astros continue to lead here. They try to avoid getting a sweep by the Oakland A's, a team that's going nowhere right now. So they'll try to avoid that, and nobody better to have on the mound than their stopper, Framber Valdez, who's been their best pitcher here in the second half, and it looks like he's doing his job.
Yeah, it looks like he's nails. We'll see if we can hang on to this one. The Astros need this one now. We can talk about that little cush lead and. Not sweating a whole lot right now, but boy, you don't.
It does feel like the Mariners lose every day, but they've somehow crawled themselves to 3.5 back.
Yeah, but look here. I mean, well, when you're getting dealt with by these A's, that you deserve that. Yeah, it ought to happen. Hell, you ought not be able to survive. You ought not be able to survive getting swept by the damn A's. You got to get in there and handle your business.
Yeah, after the Astros decided to dye my hair blonde and give it everything they had in that 4-game series against the Royals. They've been swept by the Reds, and on the verge today again swept by the A's if they don't win this one today. But they do lead 2-0 right now. Jason Hayward with a homer, and Framber Valdez is on the mound pitching a shutout right now at this point. 2-0 in the fourth inning. Clint, remember, as we said, Titus Howard, he's coming on with us at 2:15, so we'll break a little early so we can get to him. But I do want to get to this because there was a lot of news with the Astros. We'll get to Joe Espada a little bit later on when it comes to Chaz McCormick as Chaz McCormick has been placed on the IL, Clint, because, oh, guess what? It was an actual fracture in his wrist, as Joe with such confidence before seeing the imaging, fellas. He went ahead and said, no, we straight. Obviously, they're not. But the big thing that happened last night in the fifth inning, the heart and soul of this team, Jose Altuve, leaves the game after doing something to the wrist. He even bunted. We'll get to that in a second. Tried to bunt, didn't swing, but came immediately out of the game. He is not in the lineup today as Dubon is playing second base and Bregman is leading off. But this is the latest this morning at the ballpark from Joe Espada on where Altuve is.
He's doing better. I thought he was going to come in and be more sore, you know, especially after the way he looked yesterday. But he's day-to-day. He's in the weight room. He's throwing the Met ball around, trying to get the area loose. So hopefully, you know, it's something that he won't miss a lot of time.
All right, I don't believe anything you're saying, Joe. So hopefully we see him, and hopefully we hear from him himself. I don't believe you, Joe. You say he's feeling better.
No.
I'm sorry, that's where I am. I just don't believe you, Joe.
I don't know how anyone could.
I don't either, Tyler. I'm out. But hopefully he is all right, Clint, and this is a short-term thing, and it is not a big deal. Big deal. The thing that got me last night, Clint, was I don't know why they left him in the game to continue. One, they gave away an out, and second, like, clearly he was so hurt, Clint, at a two-strike count, he didn't even think about swinging. He tried to bunt.
Yeah.
He tried to bunt and got himself out in a one-run game that they ended up eventually losing with Alvarez coming behind him. That, to me, was just wild why they even took a chance for him to get up there and continue to injure himself even more, and then why no one just came and said, hey, man, you can't go. Like, if you're about to pull him out the game, pull him out the game. And if you, Altuve, can't swing, you're going to try to bunt? Get out of the game. That was wild to me with that situation.
Yeah, look, I don't know what the conversation was. I mean, Altuve could have very easily said, nah, let me finish the at-bat. And obviously when it's Altuve, you're going to let him do that. But to your point, again, if you're going to square around and bunt then and just give him an out,
strikes.
Then as a player, you got to bow out of that thing. So, yeah, just another one of those trivial, you know, situations where you just don't know why the manager and the best player in Astros history didn't handle it a little bit differently. Just giving away outs, man.
Yeah, I wonder when Altuve knew he wasn't going to swing a bat. I wonder when that came out. I wonder when Altuve knew he wasn't going to be able to swing a bat. That was interesting. That was interesting to see. But the big important key is Clint, is hopefully this is not like the Chaz McCormick situation. Hopefully this is not like the Kyle Tucker situation, and that that this is anything long term, because they definitely can't afford to lose him at the time.
Well, I don't want to scare anybody out there, but Alex Bregman just dove for a shot between the third baseman and the shortstop there, and didn't make the play. Knocked it down, but it was an infield hit. And as he braced himself with his right arm and his glove arm, he grimaced pretty bad.
No, God!
No, he'll be all right. That's what you say, right? It'll be all right.
Well, that's one
grimace. It was a serious grimace.
That's one of those where, boy, it'd be a crying ass shame. We talked about it before. I got to believe there's minimal to no risk out there of him playing in the field.
That wasn't even a throw right there.
No. He literally braced himself and
to
his elbow
try,
got
try
back.
To get up.
Yeah, kind of in a push-up position.
Isn't that it was ridiculous.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if he's being ridiculous, Pena. We'll see. I mean, it just one of those where, boy, the look on his face was more of a scared look than a hurt look.
Maybe it was his stomach.
It was his cup. Maybe it was his stomach.
Oh, he don't wear a cup.
He don't wear a cup at third?
I don't believe so.
I believe I would.
I don't think any of them.
I believe
wear
I did.
Except for the catchers.
That poor fella in them little league games wearing them cups and pitching. Boy.
I tried to one time, and I couldn't do it, man. I just can't play. I couldn't be active. Not active like I wouldn't know, but I mean,
what you're telling me, the little small cups, they usually kind of slide around down there. Yeah. It's hard to keep them small ones in one place, you know?
I just didn't feel comfortable. That was our baseball talk presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile, and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use our savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. All right, coming up, let's do this thing here. Our guy, Titus Howard, your right tackle, who was a part of a dominating performance with the offensive line against the Indianapolis Colts. We'll get his thoughts on that performance and moving forward against the Chicago Bears. Titus Howard joins the drive coming up next.
It's a Thirsty Thursday with our friends at Bud Light on Sports Radio 610. Live from Buffalo Wild Wings and Katy, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back as we are live here at Buffalo Wild Wings here in Katy Park Row location. So come on out, hang out with us. We'll be here till 6 o'clock. You got a chance to win a pair of tickets to this Bears game on Sunday against your Houston Texans. Sunday night football, first time in a couple of years they've had a primetime game. You got a chance to win a couple of Visa gift cards and our next guest, he a chance to win an autographed game size helmet from Titus Howard. Your chance to win that coming up today. So get in here and fill out your name and put it in our raffle box. You'll have a chance to win. Titus Howard, somebody who was on social. I see. I'm on guess. This is a fellow who had Shannon Sharp up and down his timeline yesterday too. You don't have to lean in on that if you don't like it, Titus. But you seem like somebody who had Shannon Sharp up and down his timeline like I did yesterday. So I hope you enjoyed that circus, because I sure as hell did.
Yeah, Uncle wide out with that one.
Yeah, he did. All right. Hey, what was different last week, in your opinion, in the run game in particular? Because you guys just absolutely dominated the Colts, from the start to the finish. What would you say was different Sunday than in the past, like last year, where there were some struggles in the run game?
I would think first and foremost would be the mentality and then the physicality. Like, the guys all game was physical. It wasn't just the O-line. It was the receivers coming in, making huge blocks, the tight ends, the fullback. It was everyone. So I think the biggest thing for us as a team and as an offense was everybody was working collectively as one. So that was the biggest part.
Titus, what do you attribute that to, man? Because, I mean, look, I'll just be flat honest with you. There was times when, you know, watch film last year, and it seemed to me like guys weren't real sure of how they were going to execute the double team or who they had here, there. The what you just mentioned, the mentality and the physicality was just not there too often. Like, and now it was like to me it was a 180, man. Watching you guys this week, I mean, as a group, that was the switch was unbelievable, man. What do you attribute that to?
I think that goes to the coaching too, and that for the players. Being in the same system for 2 years, building that camaraderie every day and being able to know exactly what you got to do every day, it helps you come off the ball faster. I think last year the whole offense was harder for everybody to pick up, and it was new techniques and ways of doing everything because all the blocking is different. So being able to be in that same system 2 years in a row, it helped us a lot. And then I think the main thing would be as a group up front. I mean, we got a lot of reps as a starting over line during camp and stuff, so we was ready to go, and it wasn't like it was just like somebody new in every day. So we kind of like had built that camaraderie together, and it made it easier for us on Sunday.
For you personally, Titus, is it a much more of a comfort for you to be playing at your natural position, which is tackle, right tackle, to help with kind of the improvement and the mentality as you just spoke about?
Yes, sir. I'm way more comfortable at tackle. All my best years in the NFL was at tackle. I played guard, and, you know, that was something I did, you know, because that was something we needed at the time. But, I'm just happy that we got the guys in the room, everybody's healthy, so I can play a position that I can help the team at the most.
Well, hey, Titus, I'm happy as hell to see you at tackle now. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I know you got to be correct in there. I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't – I'm just glad to see you back at tackle and at home, and I had the opportunity to hopefully shine even brighter than you already have. Hey, we can't have you on, man, and not talk about Kenyon Green. From the outside looking in, man, the whole storyline of just what he's done in the last, let's say, calendar year, and then to play as well as he played opening weekend, man. I mean, just from your perspective, your brother in the locker room and in y'all's meeting room, just your thoughts on Kenyon Green and how he played and how the last year's been for him.
Yeah, man. I mean, if you can just go back in time, I've always been an advocate for Kenyon because, like I tell people all the time, I see the potential. I knew it when we drafted him. I mean, I saw it every day. But, like I say, outside in, for people, don't get to see that, you know, his first 2 years, he was going through a lot of injuries, this and that. And me, myself, they're going through injury. That's a hard thing to come back from. And it's not easy. So, you know, this last year, we got a chance to get healthy, get in the best shape possible. And, man, all training camp, he's putting on film every day that what type of players he's going to be. So we knew when the game came, first game, we knew what we were going to see. Everybody was surprised, but we wasn't. But that's just kudos to him, man, because that's the type of kid he is. He hasn't even tapped, like, his full potential yet. That was just a little bit, and he still got stuff he can do better. So the limit, you know, through the roof, and I know Kenyon's going to continue to get better every day. I'm just happy to see, you know, everybody else see what he can do and appreciate having him on the team because we always appreciate having him.
Hey, I don't want you to share any grades or anything with us because that wouldn't be fair. But just can you tell us from an offensive line perspective how good particularly Kenyon Green's performance was week one?
It was phenomenal. I feel like if I could just say one thing, I think as a group, he set the tone for how we all should be playing in the run game. And I think that just brought energy for the whole offense, seeing him come off the rock like that. And I think that was a big step for him and a big step for offense.
All right, as we're live here on Thirsty Thursday here at Buffalo Wild Wings, joined by your right tackle for the Houston Texans, Titus Howard. Titus, when we look at the impact of the run game, I said it when we came in Monday. I said, man, we got to talk about them five big sexies up front because they're the ones who really opened this thing up. But what is it about Joe Mixon and his ability and his style that helps you all up front in a way to get more yardage, even in a way to look better?
I think the biggest thing about Joe Mixon is that his vision is elite, and you know what you're going to get. You know Joe Mixon is going to see it. He's going to hit it. He's going to cut. He's going to do whatever you got to do. So we go up front and we run off the ball and be nasty. He's gonna make make us right every time. So as offensive lineman, when you know you have a running back who's gonna make you right, it makes you play more confident, makes you want to come off the ball harder. Cause you know if a guy plays a certain way, Joe's just gonna cut off and make everybody right. So I think he's one of the best guys in the league, and I think he's gonna show this year.
Hey, it's hard to turn the page as well as y'all played last week, man. I want to hang on. I want to hang on to that as long as I possibly can. But we got to turn the page here. To the Bears, the offensive performance last week. I mean, I think to me the most convincing thing about watching you guys play is yeah, it was great, but I feel like it wasn't y'all taking advantage of a lesser team. It was y'all imposing your will on a really good team, and that typically travels well, and not obviously on the road, but travels well throughout a season. As y'all watch mm-hmm. the Bears, how confident are you that what y'all were able to do last week is something you can carry over week to week?
Yeah, we're pretty confident we can carry over because at the end of the day, no matter who we play, with the guys we got on this team, if we do what we're supposed to, nobody can stop us. So that's the thing. We just go out there and keep performing the way we want to perform. We're going against one of the best defensive line, one of the best defenses every day at practice. So if we can do it on them, we can do it on anybody. So that's our mentality every week is controlling what we can control, and everything else is going to fall in place.
Titus, as Clint said, turning the page to the Bears, as you sit back and do your prep and your preparation for this game, what are you seeing from this Bears defense? What jumps out to you when you watch them on film?
I see a defense that's hungry. A defense that just in general, that team leans on their defense. So we can go out there early in the game, set the tone, establish a run. Man, we can we can we can we can, we can take over this game. But that team is dependent on their defense. They have a really good defense. So we just got to go out there and do our thing, and I think we can do that.
All right, Titus, we appreciate you joining us. And this should be a hell of an atmosphere coming up on Sunday. Y'all going to be in them all icy whites, and I just want to let you know I have real expectation on your shoe game with these icy whites. Now, you wear the ones during practice, I really have expectations in this shoe game coming up on Sunday in icy white.
For sure, I got you.
I know. I can't wait. I can't wait to see it. All right, that's Titus Howard joining us as they get set to play the Bears coming up. And Clint, a couple of things that jumped out there, man. He said the physicality and the mentality has changed up front with that offensive line, and that was what we talked about all last year. Is man, it just don't seem like nobody wants to get physical. That you just can't coach that. And at a point, Clint, we just questioned and wondered. Hey, man, it's just not in some of these guys. Well, that was a complete difference from what we saw all of last year, held the years before that, into what we saw on Sunday.
Well, when you add two guys to the mix that are now ready to play, Kenyon Green, who everybody's aware of his story, Juice Scruggs in year two as a center playing his position. When you add those two dudes to the mix that are built the right way to play inside, that absolutely, I don't know if they're going to be able to do it for 17 or 18 weeks, but their intentions are to be as violent and to simply move mass up front when they can. And when you add those kind of players with that mentality to the bunch and they play well, all of a sudden your whole group looks and feels more physical. And we talked about it before, Ron, like when you've got a guy like, and it doesn't have to be the guy himself necessarily being the why, but like if you've got Kenyon in there, like one of my favorite things about Kenyon Green is in the fourth quarter, it's a screen, and the screen didn't time up right. We got 6, 7, 8 yards, but it didn't time up right. It would have been a big play. And Kenyon Green gets to the he's 20 yards downfield. And he kind of just headbutts at safety, a DB. I think it was 32 again, actually, a DB back there. And you could see him jawing at this guy like, you got lucky that the play guy stopped because I was fixing the pancake. You know, there's just every play the intentions are bad. And now that way when you go to a meeting room and you sit in there as an offensive line and you've got two or three guys that are literally on film in the moment playing the game super physical, it makes the guys that aren't playing the game physical really stand out, and everybody kind of cuts their eyes, and I'm like, hey, man, what the hell was that? Last play, number 76 and 70, showed you our standard. Hey, what the hell was that? That wasn't quite what we're looking for. So all of a sudden, you got Brevin Jordan sticking his head in there and getting physical. All of a sudden, you got Dalton Schultz and Nico Collins, who we hadn't given enough. I know we've given Nico a lot of run, but by the way, his ability to block with that big body is going to be even bigger for this team moving forward. But when that level of physicality is set by two or three guys up front, Shaq Mason has always brought that. Now you got Juice and Kenyon doing it. Boy, it's human nature for all these other guys that are playing a man's game to all of a sudden fall in line and go, well, I guess I better stick my head in there. I guess I better drive my feet. I guess I better get my guy blocked because everybody else seems to be punishing folks. So it's just the natural get on my level when it comes to physicality, when you got a couple of guys in that huddle that are doing it is real, man, and the impact is real.
Just went a little scrappy. Is that get on my level?
You can. Is that who that was?
I believe that's scrappy. Believe that's you can never, ever, ever. Is that what you want? Hey, explain to the people what he was talking about. I found it interesting when he talked about Joe Mixon. He said Joe Mixon always makes us right.
Yeah.
And he talked about his vision first, but he always makes us right.
Well, I mean, I think you probably misspoke a little bit. Always is a long time, right? I think there was probably twice in film where I saw it where Joe Mixon probably missed a cut and didn't make them right. But it's simple. I mean, when they don't come off of, let's say, Titus and Juice are doubling a shade up to an inside backer, and they don't get off of that double team quick enough, it seems like Joe sees that. The backer shoots the gap. Well, Joe is patient and skips to another gap and gets up to the second level. And now it's real easy for that play side guard to come off on that backer because he's right there next to him. So he almost baits the backer up so that the lineman can take him over a little bit easier, and then boom, he hits it out the a different gap, or his patience pays off and that gap opens up. He just has a knack for understanding like blocking assignments, and if it's done super clean, you just hit that thing nose down like Damian Pierce and you just roll with it, yeah. Right? If it's not super clean, then your patience sometimes can bait DBs, can bait linebackers, and it makes an offensive lineman's job a lot easier. On some of the outside runs, if somebody's having a problem reaching a certain an outside technique, if he's patient, that defender will stop his feet. He'll allow the offensive lineman to take him over, and then he'll hit it again outside. So he makes those guys right by setting them up and making their job significantly easier.
Yeah, yeah. The vision, his ability to cut back.
Absolutely.
Is big time. But there are a couple of cutbacks. He cut back. He didn't have to. He probably could have stuck it up for some yards. But you can see what he brings to the table and how he makes. There are some backs, and I know I think Seth Payne has said this in the mornings, there are some backs that just – help out the offensive line just as much as the offensive line helps them out. So we saw that work in hand in hand in the game against the Colts on Sunday. All right, a little update here. Once again, I see people on the text line with the question of where are you? Which location? We're in Katy. We are at the Park Road Drive location. In Katy, Park Road Drive location.
Fry exit off I-10, baby.
There you go. Fry exit off I-10.
I-10 West in Katy. Take that Fry exit, hang your right, go down about, I don't know, 2-3 blocks on the left-hand side, kind of catty corner to a Denny's. You can't miss it, baby.
Yeah, you can't. So come on out here and be a part of the fun we're having till 6 o'clock and your chance to win some items. Coming up in the 3 o'clock hour, your chance to win a pair of $25 Visa gift cards, and also in the 4 o'clock hour, Titus Howard, who we just talked to, he has an autographed helmet that you have a chance to win, game-size helmet, and then the big one in the 5 o'clock hour, your chance to win a pair of tickets to Sunday night's game against the Bears and the Bud Light tailgate passes as well. You have to be here to win, all right? You have to be here to win. The one thing you don't want to have happen is your chance to win them tickets, and then your name is called.
Happened last week. Tyler, no, where you at? Where you at, Tyler?
Where you at, Tyler? Where you at?
Tyler, your ass bailed, and then you two tickets. Not you, Tyler. Oh. You can't win, son.
That's
the
right.
Other Tyler. He bounced up out of here, had a chance to win two tickets. I think he had his lady with him. You could have took her. I hope your lady's mad at you.
Oh, she's pissed. She ain't talked to him all week.
Mine's mad at me for trying to work out with her yesterday. Tyler, I hope yours is mad at you too, missing them damn tickets.
Yeah, you know what, Tyler? I thought about it. We didn't receive no kind of text message last night that this thing was going all right.
Hey, I didn't think about it, Ron.
I was waiting on that text message.
This could be the bad thing about doing the same location back-to-back weeks. Tyler's going to come in here and be like, hey, man, not only did I miss the tickets, but now y'all are banging on me on the radio.
Now I'm hot. Yeah, now my wife, my lady in here. I don't want to say that's your wife. Your lady in here. But yeah, so get on out here and have a good time and hang out with us. All right, coming up as we continue here, we'll update you on what's happening with the Astros as they are looking to avoid getting swept by the Oakland A's. We'll tell you what's going on there as Framber is on the mound. And also, the potential issue in this game, as we've been able to watch and look at the game against Tennessee with the Bears that they won, the potential issue that this defense could be facing against Chicago. We'll discuss all of that coming up next, live right here on The Drive.
It's a Thirsty Thursday with our friends at Bud Light on Sports Radio 610. Live from Buffalo Wild Wings in Katy, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back in as we are in Katy, Park Road Drive location here in Katy at Buffalo Wild Wings. We'll be here till 6 o'clock on this Thirsty Thursday. There is still room for you to come and hang out. As soon as you get off, come kick it with The Drive and win some potential prizes. Eat you some good food, order you something to drink, and have a good time out here. And hell, stay. Boy, you can stay on out here. You got a little Thursday night football, a big matchup of two teams that the Texans play this year, the Dolphins and the Buffalo Bills. So you can come out here and check that out. If you missed our interview with Titus Howard, he was just on with us in the last segment. You can go back to the podcast page and listen to that, the second segment in the 2 o'clock. It is still 2-0, Clint. And Framber Valdez is just being what Framber Valdez has been in the second half, Clint. He is through six innings, three hits, no runs, six strikeouts, and one walk. And he is about to start the seventh inning. The run support, the two runs coming off a two-run homer from Jason Hayward. Your boy, bat-flipping Singleton, has two doubles in this game, and he scored a run as well. So it is looking pretty good right now because it would be – I think the Astros will be as embarrassed as Shannon Sharpe said he was last night if they lost this game and were swept.
Little random small ball being played middle of the game here against the A's.
They couldn't execute, but they executed it well.
They didn't finish it, but executed it well. Little sack bunt moved Big John from second to third. Little sack bunt by
good job, Jake.
By Jake Myers. I mean, yeah, it looks good baseball.
Good job, Jake.
It's good baseball. It's just like not doing it in extra innings with a runner on second, and then doing it in the. Okay. Fifth inning here is it's kind of random. Not real sure, you know, why the change, but I greatly appreciate it.
Yep.
Why do you think that is? We're not going to do it in extra innings, but a fifth inning, game three against the A's at the house.
Only thing I think of is Joe felt comfortable with Jake being the guy to do it.
Confident in Jake's bunting.
Yeah. Joe felt that's the only thing I could think of is Joe, the batter, the person at the plate. That's all I could think of. 2-0 right now in the seventh inning. We'll keep you updated on what happens there in this game as the Astros look to avoid a sweep at home.
By the way, 2-0, up 2-0, top of seven, no outs. Let's just keep everything in front of us.
No, Jake sold out. Baby.
We don't need any diving catches and letting the ball roll to the fence for a double. Let's just keep everything in front of us, boys, and
Jake was just laying out.
Oh, okay.
Ron, what do you think old Patrick Creighton thought of that attempt by Jake Myers there?
I think Patrick would say that is a tough play for any center fielder, and he was laying out trying to get it.
Well, and when you got great range, you know, you think you can get to everything, so you just got to settle it down a little bit.
Yeah, he wasn't close nice. To that. By the way, like that, and Clint was being nice about it, and I wasn't going to say nothing about it because I feel like people have a feeling of my hatred of him. That was easy to detect that you weren't going to get that. But when I say he wasn't close, I mean he was not close. He's just that looked like those guys that fake hustle and just dive. For no reason, but I'm sure that's what it looked like. That's not what Jake is. All right, Clint, I know you've been watching the film. I've watched that Bears-Titans game a couple of times as well. I know for you jump out there and you look at their offense, and their offense wasn't impressive at all. Hell, they threw it for 93 yards on 29 attempts, and I think they had 148 yards of total offense. And didn't run it very well either. Ran it for 40-something as well. But what do you see could be potentially the issue they could cause for the Texans, if there is one on this offense?
Well, I think there's one thing that's kind of, for me, it's the tell of two games, right? There's no doubt about it that the Indianapolis Colts are going to look at the film from last week, and they are going to be disappointed in the fact that they didn't continue to run the football downhill and with Jonathan Taylor and continue to do some of the read stuff with Anthony Richardson. Just plain and simple, whether it's because D'Amico's defense is multiple and he can confuse young quarterbacks, or if it's Anthony Richardson's just not ready for that yet, wasting downs is against a team like the Texans is going to get you beat 10 out of 10 times. You can't do that. And so I looked at that. They were up front. Talking D tackle, they mashed the Texans a couple of times to the point where I'm still concerned about really good football teams, really good run teams sticking to that.
You thought there was a little something more to how well they did against the Colts in the run game. I think it was more a little bit more of the Colts stopping it, or to me the Texans offense forcing the Colts
well,
to stop.
I'm not going to minimize anything that the Texans did. It was tremendous. But at the end of the day, I think one thing that sticks out is if the Colts, with that big physical offensive line that they had, showed a lot of promise early in that football game, getting push inside, whether it was Jonathan Taylor or they were pulling it and keeping it with Anthony Richardson, there was a lot of promise there. Now, to their credit, they kept them off the field, and they only gave them four snaps in the third quarter, whatever it was, and so that's a big reason why they had to go to throwing the football. But the point is that you're not always going to have a 10-point lead. The game's not always going to work out like that. And I think there's a good chance that teams are going to watch that film. They're going to say, it's a really good defense. And Anthony Richardson and boys hit them for a couple of big plays. And sure, that's nice, but you can't live on that. What you can live on is downhill, inside, you can attack these tackles. I think when you got Swift toting the rock, when you got a rookie quarterback in Caleb Williams after week one, you probably need to protect him a little bit. He missed a lot of quick stuff that was there early, a lot of the boring stuff that C.J. Stroud talks about. He missed some of that stuff early, and the way you protect him is you run the football. And so I think whether you're the Bears and you need to protect that young quarterback to a certain extent, especially with Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter coming off the edges, or you just watch the film and you go, hey, man, we should be able to run the football downhill on this team. We got to make them stop us running the ball downhill inside. You got Swift. You paid him some money. I think there's a little bit. There's going to be a challenge, I think, by the Bears of trying to run the football inside.
Well, I will say their center, Coleman Shelton, better play better than the way he did on Sunday. He was getting his ass kicked.
Well, I mean, he don't have Simmons. He don't have Sweat. They ain't none of them guys in this.
So, yeah, I was going to say, now he doesn't have Simmons and Sweat walking out there. But, what DeMeco said, Foley, you just can't move him. So he ought to do his job. Why are you making that face, man?
Go back and watch that first Colts drive.
He got moved a little bit. He got moved a little bit.
He got folded.
I just said Coleman Shelton played a horrible game against the Titans. Like you said, though, Sweat's just a huge body that can play run defense in his sleep, and obviously Jeffrey Simmons is one of the best.
The Titans, Ron, we talked about it before. The Titans are one of a handful of defenses in this league that have that dude inside in Simmons. It can go inside or outside, right? And then all of a sudden they bring in a guy like Sweat who for one game appears to be a hell of a player. And now you got that big 360, 380, whatever the hell he is, inside. I mean, so they got a couple of dudes in Tennessee that I don't know that they'll match up with anybody, any pair of D linemen in the league, but they're pretty damn close.
Yeah. Pretty close, at least in terms of trying to move them out the way to stop the run. All right, the Astros just came up with a huge double play to get out of this inning. Brian Abreu, you had to come in as Framber wasn't able to finish the seventh. Framber goes, his line is finished 6 1/3 inning. He did give up one run as the A's got an RBI hit. It is now 2-1. 2-1 going to the bottom of the seventh. The Astros lead and look to avoid getting swept. So that is the latest there. We'll keep you updated on that. All right, fellas, man. I sure as hell hope you all caught this. Are you looking at this? Hey, man, you think Shannon did that on purpose? You think it was an accident? Because he said it was an accident. He said
I didn't follow up the way you clearly did.
I set an alarm when I found out that was coming on.
Yeah, I didn't. I mean, the woman moaning while the camera was on the floor didn't really draw me in to be like, I gotta have more.
I just needed whole thing. You great. I was in there. I was in there. If you missed it, if you don't know, if you've been under a rock, you don't know the Shannon Sharp situation. Shannon Sharp, as he says, on accident, went live on IG as he was enjoying – what was his phrasing? Being a healthy adult male.
Girl.
Driving a healthy lifestyle of an adult male. Basically, he was having sex with a young lady. And it went live. And all you could do was hear their fun time they were having. As you can imagine, what's that like? He went live because it went off and went crazy. And he said it was an accident. He said he had never been on IG Live. He didn't know how it works. He said he came in, threw his phone on the bed, and then went to work. Now, he did say, I told you, Unc gets it in. He said, I told you, I'm active. I get it in. Man, I'm sorry, boy. I like there is Tyler, there's a lot that you have to do to get to turn on IG Live.
Yeah, that's my
thing. That's a hard accident.
The more I think about that singular part of this, I don't think this was an accident.
And I mean, it's worked out perfectly. The amount of people that was watching the nightcap last night.
And I mean, hell, we're talking about it right now, right here. You know.
Oh, it was everywhere. And I mean, it was him in a good light. It was him perfectly saying some real good lines. You gonna take that? I got a hard time believing Shannon did this on accident.
There's no doubt it was done on purpose.
You know, no doubt.
Did you catch some live reads he had last night, Ron?
I watched the whole show.
Yeah, he's doing multiple live reads for sex pills, and this was an accident.
They did a sex pill. He made a shirt. They got a shirt already made for it last night. They were selling on the.
What's the shirt?
I hadn't seen the shirt. You got to go on.
You gonna buy you one?
It's probably something about a healthy male.
I'm a nice guy. I ain't got man. And Ocho, Chad Ocho, see his approach. He was like disappointed in him. He said, "Man, we gotta be responsible. We gotta be professional, man. Oh, and you out here doing this to me." I'm like, I thought he was joking, but he was dead ass serious.
He didn't film a porno, guys.
I was thinking the nerve of you, Chad. I'm just telling you, it is like the amount of views he got last night.
That's the part that shocks me. I mean, it ain't even a sex tape. It's literally he got some nice wood floors. It looked real wood floors. Nice little six inch, seven inch wide planks on that floor.
Solid.
I mean, it was literally a video of a floor with somebody moaning in the background.
The world
went nuts.
You saw the wide planks? Is that what you saw?
Yeah, those were nice wide. Those were nice wide planks. It wasn't the old school little narrow, little two and a half inch wood slats. It was them 6-inch, 7-inch wide planks.
I personally,
what's that say about our world?
If you put a gun to my head, heart, or scrotum, places I don't want to get shot, to me, I think this was a two-folds thing. I think one, obviously, this was going to bring some eyeballs and some attention to this, and this thing blew up big time. He's got over 2 million followers, and that thing went out just long enough. And there have been accusations of him being gay.
Yes.
And this kills this. He said Cat Williams last night. He said Cat Williams called him and said, "Well, guess what, Unc? I guess you ain't gay today."
I was just about to say, you know, it's been a while since Cat Williams interview, so he wanted some numbers.
Like, I mean, everybody right now, go on your phones if you have IG. Go on your phones and see everything you have to do to go to IG Live. And think and ask yourself if you can just throw the phone on the bed and automatically hit IG Live.
No, it's a great play. As you said, personally, there's no more questions about his preference, or at least that side of
Ocho
it.
Ocho said it wasn't a Michael, wasn't it? It was a Michelle.
And, you know, so that part of it, and then you can't tell me it's not staged. I guarantee you the live reads Tyler's talking about, I didn't see it, but the live reads, I guarantee you there's going to be title sponsors.
Oh, God, yes.
And it's all a play. He knew it was coming down the pipe. Probably already paid him millions of dollars to do it. You leak that video, next thing you know, all of a sudden he's the best spokesperson for that particular product that you could possibly have, at least for the foreseeable future.
Enjoy yourself. What a stunt, Pool. What a stunt. I will never believe you didn't know it was coming. All right, as we continue, remember, 3 o'clock hour, your first chance to win a couple of gift cards, $25 gift cards. So get in and get your name in our raffle box. We'll get you updated here on the Astros as they look to avoid the sweep and injury reports. Updates on both sides, and I think there's some important things to look at as well. And we'll get you ready for this big Thursday night football game. All of that as we continue right here live on The Drive.